praise the Lord. Welcome to our Friday night podcast. God bless you for being with us. Here I'm joined by my son and associate, Benji, and as always, producer Nat, pulling all the strings behind the scenes. And so thank you so much for being with us. We're going to get into remnant things today, and it's exciting to be able to say we're getting into remnant things, because the remnant is going to do whatever it takes to bring back our Lord and Savior. That's what we're all about. That's our focus every second of every day. You know, I've been mentioning to people that my little granddaughters, they're learning, or they have learned, the last thing they do before they go to bed, they say their prayers, and the last thing they do is they say, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." We are raising up a generation of people that are going to expect the Lord to return. And so that doesn't just mean the little girls. That means all of us. All of us. It has to be our expectation, our desire. It has to be everything in our lives. So I just want to get into a couple of things. I want to talk about focus. Focus. The importance of what it means to focus. We've been talking a lot about what Jesus said. He said, if you want to find your life, you have to lose it. You have to lose it. And of course, Paul said things like, do not look at what you can see, look at what is unseen. And the general idea in the Word of God is that you have to lose your focus on one thing so that you can put your focus on another thing. You cannot look at the natural and look at the spiritual at the same time. And it seems like something that should be so easy to understand, but for some reason, it's a very difficult thing for Christians to do. And in fact, the devil counts on the fact that God's people, even those that have a heart to do what we're talking about, even those that have a heart to really seek God and be the remnant, that at some point they're going to decide that they're going to try to focus on two things at one time. And you can't do that. That's the whole idea of what it means to focus, is that you zone in, you zoom in on one thing, and then you keep that in your focus. So I want to start with maybe something that doesn't seem like it has to do with focus, but it'll get us there. Benji, I want you to read the first scripture that I told you I wanted you to read from the book of Luke. Go ahead and read those few verses of scripture to us.
All right, Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 11, says, "Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, 'Do not weep.' Then he came and touched the open coffin. Those who carried him stood still. And he said, 'Young man, I say to you, arise.' He who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he presented him to his mother."
Praise God. The reason I had Benji start with that is because that's a very good example of our Lord and Savior's focus. He saw a woman. She was a widow. She had now lost her son. And the Bible clearly says he had compassion on her. But when we have compassion, our normal compassion itself will take us to go put our arm around somebody, or maybe to go and talk to them about the experiences that we've had. Oh, well.
Sympathy.
Exactly. That's it. You know, my dad used to always say, do you want to be healed or do you want sympathy? You want someone to sympathize with you? You know, it's amazing. I kind of talked about this on Sunday. But I talked about the sinfulness, the sinfulness and the deviousness of the word being relevant. That is such a sinful word. And I can't get into what I talked about on Sunday. You go watch that. But that being relevant is actually sinful. But the church today has set its course on being relevant to the point that there's a lot of churches that are called Relevant Church or something similar to that. Or Journey. We're going to talk about your journey. That's what the church has become today. But being relevant actually means that you're focused on the wrong things. And as going back to what my dad said, do you want sympathy or do you want to be healed? And so when in the story that Benji just read from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus, he saw the woman, he saw the dead person, and he actually had compassion on them. But because Jesus had a focus that was supernatural, that was spiritual in nature. It wasn't earthly. It didn't keep him from being, it didn't mean he was unsympathetic. It doesn't mean that he didn't have compassion, but he did not show sympathy in an earthly, natural way. When Jesus saw the woman and the dead man and the casket, because his focus was always on the spiritual, it was always on the supernatural, he was able to step in and say, woman, don't weep. I've got the answer for you. And the Bible says he went and touched it, and the man came back to life. And so, again, if his focus was natural, then he would have done what most people, everybody today would have done. They would have tried to have been relevant. They would have tried to sympathize in the natural, the way, as Benji said. They would have gone and put their arm around this woman. They would have gone and said, hey, let me, you know, why don't you come in and sit at my church and let people love on you. All of those things sound good. But as it's been a couple of years ago that in the book that I wrote about the remnant, but the devil uses good things. He uses the gray areas, the good things, to try to keep people from the supernatural things. What do you remember what I always used to say, Benji, about how the good is the what? It's the enemy.
Enemy.
Of the supernatural.
Of the supernatural.
It's the enemy. It would have been good if Jesus had gone and said, I feel so sorry for you. I feel so bad for you. Listen, I'm going to be like a son to you, and I'm going to help you, and I'm going to take care of you, and so on. But Jesus' focus was always on the supernatural. So let me just now move from that. I want to talk about focus for a little bit. But you get ready in a second to read the other scripture I gave you. But you see, it takes focus. It takes spiritual energy. And I hesitate to use terms like that because I don't want to sound new agey. Because that's not right either. But there is a spiritual energy and power and fire by the Spirit of the Lord that we have to be able to get into and then remain in a spiritual place. The Bible says it like this. It says, put off the old man, put on the new man. And we've got to daily put off the old man so it doesn't come back and put on the new man. One of the things I've been mentioning recently, I've been talking a lot about Elijah, of course. And I've been saying that Elijah, when you read about Elijah and the remnant, he was consumed. He was a man consumed with doing the work of God, even when he thought he was by himself, and he virtually was by himself. One man in a nation of many millions of people, and God finally came and said, well, I do have 7,000, which is, 7,000 out of millions and millions is nothing. It's nothing. You're talking about maybe less than 1%, maybe way less than 1%. You're talking
point
about
one. I'm hearing
what's that?
Roughly 0.1.
Roughly 0.1. Thank you, all the math people around me. But he was consumed. His focus was to the point that it consumed him with doing these things. And the Elijah church, the remnant church, it's not just an Elijah church. The Elijah church is a remnant church. And the remnant church has got to be consumed to the point of focusing on the supernatural, putting off the old, putting off the flesh. At every turn, God, I don't care about that. I don't care about that. I don't care about that. Jesus said, and go read the words. Sometimes I think we don't read what he said. When he said, everyone who has lost family and parents and children and lands, he said, people that have lost that, he said, you're going to get 100-fold in this lifetime and eternal life.
Yes.
But we lose that. God is saying you have to lose your focus on that which is natural so that you can receive from me and have eternal life. Jesus said, if you love them more than me, he said, you're not worthy of me. And we say, well, I would never love anybody more. But who are you following? Who are you following? Who are you living your life for? Are you living your life for any person, whether it be a spouse, a child? Are you following children around? It's not right, and it's not okay. Well, I'm going to get to another scripture now, and I'm going to have Benji read just 3 or 4 verses of scripture, but I wanted to give you the story first. Jesus goes and meets up with a Samaritan woman at the well, and of course, he asks her for water. And he then says to her, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for living water, water that would never run out. And he gets to talk with her and finds out her story. And it's not a pretty story, the story of her life. But this woman became ensconced in what Jesus was saying to her. And it's not so much to stop. I'm not taking the time to read it for a reason. I encourage you to go read in John chapter 4. But this woman became ensconced in the words of Jesus to the point that she lost her focus on everything else. And her focus became only the words of Jesus. And Jesus began to explain to her who he was and how everything was going to work and all of this. And she realized this isn't a man, that just a normal man. So now pick up the story with where I said for you to read it, Benji.
All right, John 4, beginning in verse 25. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Verse 27, and at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?
Praise God. Did you notice, if you've listened to me minister in years past, you might have a clue, but did you notice what she said or what it says about her? It says she left her water pot. The whole reason she went to the well was to get water. That was the entire reason she was there. That was her job. Literally, that was her job. That was her focus. But by the time she left, she had completely lost her focus on the natural. And now her focus was on the supernatural, to the point of she literally left her water pot. And the Bible doesn't add details like that for no reason. It puts it in there because it's important. is trying to make the point that this woman left the flesh behind, and because she had found the supernatural, she had found the spiritual. I've said over and over again that we are spirit creatures, and we are meant to be spirit creatures, but you can't do it without complete focus. And you say, well, where does that fit in with what you've been saying recently? Well, it fits in with this. I've been saying a lot that God is looking for an exclusive, completely separate remnant. Again, I can't go into all the messages, all the scriptures. I encourage you, if you don't know, go listen. But God is looking for a separate remnant, an exclusive remnant. That's why God has put this prophetic ark. Go find out, go to our website, find out more about our ark. It's cityonthehillchurch.net or cohenchurch.net, by the way. But go find out about the ark. That's why we have this ark, so that we can be separate, so that we can be exclusive. And God is looking for people that are willing to say, I'm going to be so separate, I'm going to come out, as Paul said. I'm going to be so separate that I'm even going to lose my focus on everything. Even the water pot, which was the whole reason I came here for, I'm going to lose my focus. Most people, meaning 99.99% of people, they might even have an experience with God. They might have something, some sort of a relationship happen with the Lord. But they never lose their focus on the flesh. And if you don't lose your focus on the flesh, all of a sudden that relationship isn't the most important. Not only the most, it has to be the only thing. She left her water pot there. And you got to understand, this isn't like it is today. She couldn't just go to Walmart and just pick up another water pot. That water pot was life for her and her family. That water pot was a way for them to get water from the well and bring it into their home. But she didn't care at that point. She lost her focus and put it on something else. We've got to learn to let go of everything and to get focused. And to get focused. There's another quick scripture in Hebrews 11, verse 23, it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was putting off the flesh, putting off all, no matter how good it was. Oh, but God can use me. He can use the fact that I'm Pharaoh's child or nephew or however you want to look at it. He can use my, you know, we're trying to send people to Washington. We're trying to, oh, God can use that. And what did Moses do? He said, I don't want that. I want my focus to be something else. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. And that word looked in the original language, that word looked, it literally means to look away from everything else in order to focus intently on one object. That's literally what that word means, exactly what we're talking about. It means to turn away from everything else so that you can look. I can put this up in front of me and be looking around, and I kind of know it's there, or I can focus. I can look at it and lose everything else and really look at it. That's what that scripture is talking about. And Hebrews is encouraging us, to say, like Moses, no matter how good it seems, I'm losing my focus on everything else. That's what this ark is about. If you flip over to Hebrews 12, he even kind of goes into it a little bit more. He talks about looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. And that word looking, it signifies undivided attention on something. It's all in the Word of God, that God is looking for a people of focus, of focus. That's why Jesus said, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be given to you. He even went so far to say, if you keep reading, he said, don't even look at what's going to happen tomorrow. You got to lose your focus on every, forget the past, forget the future, forget all of it. He said, focus on the supernatural. There's no time in the supernatural. Forget the time element of it. And the key, what I have found, is that the key, or at least one of the major keys to getting your focus on the supernatural, is losing your focus on everything else. And I just want to tell you, you know, I tell my family, and I'm going to say this. God's not going to do it for you. He's not going to get your focus. You have to do that. You have to lose your focus on everything else. That's your job. We have to do it. God's not going to all of a sudden just snap, okay, I've got your focus. No. You have to decide to do it. You have to decide to be like Elijah. And the enemy will use anything to try to distract you, because all he wants to distract you, and he'll get what if he could just get you for a second. But he wants to focus on anything else, even good things. And we can't do it. Feelings, emotions, people, what you see, what you hear, the past, the future, those are all things that do not seem like bad things. They don't seem like negative things. In most cases, most people will say those are all good things. Feelings. I said most churches today, they're preaching on feelings, on emotions. People. Well, you got to minister. You know, it's all about people. If you come to this church, you're our focus. What you see. People are actually, by and large, the church has mostly turned to telling people, oh, look, keep your eyes open and look around. Listen. When God actually says, don't look. Don't listen. And as I've already said a couple of times, we remember the past things. We look to the future things. And all of those things, the devil will use anybody in your life. He'll use anyone. And before you know it, you've lost your focus. He'll use anyone in anything. But that's on you. That's not on God. That's on you. We've got to learn to keep our focus. And it has to be, I've been quoting my dad recently with this, but he said it's got to be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And I know people hear that, and they immediately say, when is it my time? And the answer to that is, it's never your time. It's never your time. It's always God's time. You want to be a supernatural creature? You want to walk in the Spirit, as Galatians tells us in chapter 5? You want to walk in the Spirit? You want to please God? And ultimately, again, this is not necessarily what this message is about, but go listen to my last several weeks about making it into eternity. Go listen to that. You want to make it into eternity with God? You have to have your focus. Your focus.
Sometimes the shift in focus requires drastic steps. You know, I'm reminded of some of the little things. They're big changes, on little things that we've made in our family. Like, for example, remember when we got rid of all of our calendars?
Yes, absolutely.
Or when we agreed to turn off commercials about doctors and medicines and things
absolutely.
Like that.
Absolutely. We did that years ago because we were trying to get, and there's been so much more. That was just the beginning of it. That was the beginning years ago when these guys were little. I said, listen, you might not understand it now, but we're not going to watch these things. We're not going to let these things get into our ear. But that's hard. That's hard. Every time a commercial comes on that talks about, because every other commercial is about medicine. It's about medicine or medical things. That's hard. Yeah. But that's what it takes to keep your focus. To keep your focus. The woman with the issue of blood that we talk so much about. This is what she said. She said, if I may only touch the hem of her garment. Her focus was the hem of his garment. That was her focus. If I could just get to touch the hem of his garment, I know that I'm going to be healed. I know I'm going to be healed. We've got to be focused. Is it hard? Of course it is. The narrow way is difficult. That's literally what the Bible says. Literally, Jesus said, the narrow way is difficult. It's hard. It's hard. But the violent take it by force. So let me end with this scripture today. I'm going to let Benji close it for us. But Proverbs 4:25 says this, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. What an exhortation from Proverbs. We've been taught in the church world, oh, look around. You never know what you might see. Look around. And God says, what are you looking at? Get on the highway of holiness and watch and make sure your feet don't turn not even an inch one way or the other. Not to the right or to the left. Stay on the highway of holiness. Keep your focus. God's remnant keeps their focus. And that's a part of how we're going to bring Jesus back. God bless you. Benji, tell us what's coming up.
All right, we got our regular services coming up, as always, Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Wednesday night at 7 p.m. I believe our next Wednesday night service is actually prayer and fellowship. Our Sunday and Wednesday services are always in person and online on our social platforms. And our social platforms include Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, as well as our new website, cityonahillchurch.net or coachurch.net. And our online functions that we have every day of the week include devotions Monday, Thursday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. online, Remnant 101s with me Tuesdays at 8 p.m. online, and the Calling the Remnant podcasts every Friday at 8 p.m. online. You can find those podcasts on Spotify, anywhere else that podcasts are available, and Siri and Alexa can play those podcasts for you as well. And as always, I want to extend a personal invitation for you to come and join us this Sunday for communion and to worship God and dive into His Word.
Praise God. Well, we just came out of a 3-month prophetic time. If you've been keeping up with it, you know God did it in a way that was just, if you were reading it in the Bible, you would sit there and just, your jaw would drop with what God did. And we just finished these 3 months a couple of days ago. I encourage you, go watch we had a special Tuesday night live airing. Go watch it, because that was the end of the 3 months. Go watch it. Even if you were here or you watched already, go watch it again. Watch Wednesday night service from a couple of nights ago. God really spoke. God's doing incredible things, but it's going to take a group of people, a remnant. It's going to take Elijah's 7,000 that have their focus on nothing else. Only on the supernatural and what it means to be a supernatural person consumed with it like Elijah. Praise the Lord. We'll see you next time. God bless you.